right, Bucks fans, it's the Ira Kaufman podcast back at you. Tuesday, May 9th edition of the Custodian of Canton, talking all things Bucks here on JoeBucksFan.com. We just love the Ira Kaufman podcast. Ira, before we get into all kinds of Bucks stuff and some of these exclusive Bucks stuff that you got over the weekend, and before we thank our sponsors, I'm not going to throw the number out there. I don't want to scare anybody. But, you know, your last Tuesday, your podcast set new records. New record downloads in May.
Post-draft
podcast from Ira. New downloads. Now, last time, I pay for a very fancy stats tracking service on the podcast. I didn't used to pay, but I've been paying since March for something a little fancier.
That's news right there that you're reaching into your pocket.
Yeah, a whole $6 a month. Lee and I are shelling out for these statistics. And 2 weeks ago, we were looking at 61 countries that you were listened in. Now, this podcast, it did fall to 41 countries, so you're slipping.
Costa Rica fell off the map.
There was one in Costa Rica. Next time, I'm going to print out the actual downloads. Now, of course, most of these countries, it's one person listening or two. And in Panama, of course.
We know in Panama, there's at least one.
I checked Panama to see. Well, let me see if the stat thing's really working. And there was one in Panama. We know that's Javier. And we have some questions for him from him for the podcast later. Exploding Ira, congratulations. Around town, Ira. And, of course, I'm Steve Isbitz here with Lee DeCamper, Joe Bucks fan. Ira, do you get feedback? Because there's thousands and thousands listening to you.
Well, I was with a small group of 600 or 700 last week. We haven't talked about this at Tampa Theater, a premiere of Stop the Presses, documentary about the state of newspapers and the demise of the Tribune. A lot of those people, former colleagues, a lot of them, said, boy, your second career is going great guns at Joe Bucks fan. You know, a lot of people are talking about you. They know what you're doing. That was very gratifying, Steve. I want to do a little shout out to our listeners. Appreciate the support. This website, this whole site in general, as you guys know, has come a long way since 2000 and what? 9?
2008.
Last year at Gruden, right? When, you guys had to establish your own brand. And now it's out there.
And now you're ruining it. No, I'm kidding.
And I think it's widely considered, the go-to site for Buck information. So take a bow, gentlemen. And I'm proud to do my little part. Where's my Cadillac? And then we continue, Steve. But Lee, we got a good thing going, and I think it keeps getting better.
Yeah, I'm very sincere when I say this. And I know those stick carriers out there, Pulowski's listeners as well, Bucks Uncensored listeners. You know, this is beyond Steve and I's wildest dreams when we started this. We never dreamt it would get this big. And I sincerely thank all the readers. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm sincere. I really thank all, because without the readers, we're nothing. We're a couple of schmoes with the microphone here doing a podcast, hoping 20 people hear us.
All right, all right.
I think it's the breadth of opinion too, Steve, that's important. That's where I come in to play a part, slap you guys around a little bit on occasion.
Well, thank you,
with your rock star Dominic, and yeah, you know, I gotta put a little perspective on this website.
Keep it straight.
But for the most part, you know, I don't find a lot to disagree with. Now, you know, the commish has his podcast style. I've got mine. He's not going my way. I'm not going his way. Although I'm a little jealous. I wouldn't mind Miko on our podcast. See what you can do about that, Steve.
Yeah, that could have happened already, but I don't think you could handle her, Ira. I don't think you could handle her. That might have to be a separate interview. Of course, your podcast is found Tuesday and Thursday. It publishes on JoeBucksFan.com. Almost within an hour of it publishing, it's available on iTunes, Podbean, and probably half the listeners are listening on iTunes. So definitely subscribe there. And when you're there, leave a review of the podcast. There's a couple of morons who blast Ira in the reviews, and you know how it is. People read reviews. Of course, the large majority, they love Ira, but you know, leave a review. It looks nice, makes Ira feel good.
A lot of people want a longer podcast, Steve. They want us to go 2 hours now. You know that's pushing a little bit.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
These are people that have a 2-hour commute, Steve. They want us to fill their commute, you know, totally from start to finish.
All right, Ira, your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon is Brandon's only luxury dealership. Brandon's only luxury dealership is Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You can start your search at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Fantastic May offers on their website. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Morse has more during the Memorial Day sales event. Ira, general manager of Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Brian Danahy, friend of ours, what fantastic guy, run such a professional organization. Hurry in and take advantage of these limited time holiday offers, like a new 2017 ATS sedan, just $359, zero down. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of I-275 on Fletcher. Click at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and, of course, see the dealer for all the details. And the offer expires at month's end. And before we get to the Bucks, all the Bucks stuff we got cooking here, Ira, to finish off the podcast, love Bucks Uncensored by Justin Pulaski, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you missed Monday's edition, it's on the website or on iTunes. He's got Miko Grimes dishing on all kinds of Bucks stuff and all kinds of Bucks-related takes and just real passionate, intense fun.
PG-rated, Stephen?
Hide the Children. Todd Wright's fantasy football podcast every Friday on Joe Bucks Fan. Hopefully, most likely, we'll have an announcement soon that Todd's going to be going twice a week when the regular season starts. And his podcast, Fantasy Football, do very well year-round. I mean, people might think, what do you talk about fantasy football in March 3rd? Well, you know what? People are listening, and kudos to Todd. No surprise there. That's pretty darn cool.
Your empire continues to grow, right, Steve?
It's not an empire. Yeah, we just do what we do here. People don't like it. If someday something happens, they don't like it, they don't like it. We shut it down. But we just do what we do. We've been doing the exact same thing since we got going. So that's it. All right, football, Ira Lee. Football. Football is why we're here.
This is the off season, Steve. There's nothing going on. It's the off season.
There's no off season, Ira. You're going to get fired for talk like that. There is no off season, Ira. The rookie minicamp. We'll go there first. You were out there checking things out, Lee. You were out there. Your sage impressions. You've been to 700 of these things.
Well, you don't want to read too much into it, Lee. You know, underwear football, in the words of Mr. DeKemper. But you know, you can tell certain things about certain players. O.J. Howard, I don't think, needed to prove anything. Lee, he certainly, the early reviews are very positive. It would have been shocking if it was anything. But what I noticed is the safety, the second-round pick, Evans, he moves well, Lee. Now, he comes in with, the reputation of being a hitter. And, of course, we've been through that here with Deshaun Goldson. We don't want to get into that too much. Was not one of the rock star's shining moments, Mr. DeKemper. And it proved a couple of things. One, it's tough to judge a player like Goldson when he's surrounded by Pro Bowl talent, which he was in San Francisco. Now he comes to the Bucks, the quality drops around him. He's not nearly as effective. And, Lee, and you know this better than anybody, the continued emphasis by the league on player safety. I can't think of a player that had hurt more than Deshaun Goldson. It took away what he did best. His reputation was a headhunter. Can you be a headhunter? Can John Lynch play the same way he did in 2001? If he was playing in 2017, even John Lynch admits he would have to a big transition for his game. That doesn't mean that Lynch couldn't do it, but Goldson couldn't do it in Tampa. So here comes Evans. I had a chat with Mike Smith. You saw me out there with Smith. He's very impressed with this Evans kid, second round. Some Buck fans were wondering, why'd they take him? They could have took a running back. They could have took a receiver in the second round. I think he kind of fits in what the Bucks are looking for at safety. He had a good rookie minicamp. Steve, he impressed Mike Smith. If you impress Mike Smith, who's been around the block a few times, Lee, that means you did a few things well out there.
I'm like you about the rookie minicamp. It's underwear football. They're playing against guys who are going to be clerks at UPS, UPS store. Most of those guys. Stuff like that, rookie minicamp. I try to look out for someone who sticks out. And the guy who I thought stuck out like a sore thumb more than anybody else, with the exception of O.J. Howard, was Riley Cooper. Man, he looked smooth. He was catching everything. And then we find out, well, I guess he's, not going to be signed as a tryout. What that means, I don't know, but I thought that was really odd. And I know, a Bucks official told me over the weekend, him and Deshaun Jackson are very tight. I don't know if that was a favor for Deshaun Jackson or if Deshaun Jackson told somebody with the Bucks, hey, this guy's living over here. Bring him in. I'm sorry. Like a stick carrier from Milwaukee, originally from St. Petersburg, Matt Sin, great guy, assistant news director for Milwaukee CBS affiliate. And he texted me Saturday afternoon. He said, there's no way you could tell me Riley Cooper or Dante dies better than Riley Cooper. And I replied, expletive, yes. And less than 24 hours later, we find out apparently Cooper's not going to be signed. So that Dante died. They just can't get rid of the guy.
Steve's losing sleep over this because he doesn't like the fifth and sixth guys on the depth chart.
Who would?
The Bucks. And, you know, Izbitz is worried about, well, what's going on here? Bring the man in and let's get an upgrade.
Well, I completely agree.
Yeah, I think fans lose sight a little bit. I can already hear thousands of fans listening to this saying, Riley Cooper, you know, we could use it. We're not talking about the guy playing 35% of the snaps. We're talking about the guy competing, getting signed to compete with the likes of Dante Dye and Freddie Martino and Josh Huff and Darrell Walker, and the list goes on.
And depth if things go wrong.
And
right?
Bernard Reedy, yeah, to compete as a guy with experience who can possibly be a legit receiver on the team and certainly a top flight number five receiver, because the Bucs right now have no number five receiver. Cutter talked about this Friday, the competition at the position. There is no number five receiver. And you know what? You could say, oh, it's a number five receiver, but that position's bitten the Bucs in the ass for two consecutive seasons. They haven't gotten what they needed out of it. And that's the realm, I think, that Riley Cooper not getting signed is a surprise, because this guy's coming from a very different playbook, you know, playing for Chip Kelly. And if he was in now, if they were even thinking of him, to get him in now gives him that much more time to really acclimate and learn a different system than he was used to.
Didn't Riley also play for Cutter's buddy, Andy Reid, for a couple of years at Philly when he first drafted?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm like you, Steve.
Andy Reid's looks kind of different, too. Different offense, too.
To your point, Steve, and just on Monday morning, I wrote on JoeBucksman.com, you know, Light was talking about where he may have went wrong with Aguayo as far as no competition for the guy. He was on Adam Schein's show on Sirius XM Radio. And in that interview, talking about Aguayo, it's in the quotes. It's on JoeBucksman.com. Light was saying how he's a big believer in competition. Well, there you go, Steve. Riley Cooper is competition for the schlock that the Bucks had, you know, the Freddie Martinos and his Velvet Line Lounge from the Vero Beach Ramada Inn, and Bernard Reedy, the misplaced Calgary Stampeder, Dante Dye, you name it. That's competition, and why it baffles me.
And guys, let's admit it. You know, look, we don't want to see this happen, but DeSean Jackson is not 27. Anymore.
Correct.
He has dealt with niggling injuries, but they haven't kept him out for an extended period, and certainly not wishing that for 2017. But facts are facts. Steve, DeSean Jackson's going up in years. The way he plays, you know, puts some pressure on hamstrings and things. And as you said, the Bucks have been exposed at the position. Thank God Mike Evans has been quite durable. Steve, you know, you got to go three wide in this league a lot of times, and the Bucks certainly have the firepower on paper that could be their brand for 2017. Wide open, balls to the wall, offense. And you can't do that if you're a little short on wide receivers. So I understand your point.
Yeah, it's an interesting, Lee brings up competition. Okay, so there's competition, and then you're balancing competition with accurately assessing your roster. And that's where the two meet is really what's interesting. You look at the Bucs, they didn't draft a cornerback, which in this league, most GMs will tell you, can't have enough cornerbacks.
That's right.
Passing lead, Falcons go four wide, the Saints in your division going four wide all the time. You need cornerbacks. And the Bucs didn't draft one. They didn't sign one in free agency. We've said this before. Josh Robinson couldn't get on the field last year ahead of Alteron Verner, and Verner's got no job, and the Bucs don't want him. And the Bucs have two undrafted free agents at nickel.
And now you got a converted safety playing corner.
And now you've got a converted safety who, you know, they like him because he looked nice a little bit in practice late in the season. That's almost ludicrous to me. I appreciate that they like him, but to count on him, there's very little competition at cornerback. So I'll throw it to you, Ira, and then to Lee. You know, what do you think of that? I mean, they didn't sign a cornerback in free agency here.
Lee, there's certain positions that seem a little thin, and corner's one of them. Now, you know, in the words of Jason Light, you can't do everything at once, and they only had six draft picks, Lee, and it was not a great free agent class, let's be honest. And they plucked off, you know, Jackson and Baker, which is not a bad haul from this class. But you look at strong side linebacker, the Beckwith kid. I think it's unrealistic to think he's going to make a push in training camp. Mm-hmm. So to me, if Bond doesn't get that job, Bond didn't get the job done in training camp. It reminds me of Daquan Bowers, guys. Remember when year Shiano goes, it's his job to lose. The guy showed up out of shape.
He lost it.
Yeah, he lost the job. You know, that was remarkable. That told you everything you need to know about Daquan Bowers.
Blew my mind. The guy was handed the job and he showed
out of shape. I'm not saying, you know, Devontae Bond's going to show up out of shape, but he was hurt last year. hasn't proven anything.
He didn't play last year.
He didn't play. You know, Beckwith, I don't think is going to be ready. And then he's converting from an inside linebacker to an outside. That's not that easy to begin with. I see a little bit of a thin competition on the strong side. Granted, it hasn't been a great playmaking position for the Bucs. But, you know, who's to say it won't be if you got the right player there? And then, you know, I don't want to beat the drum on this, but backup quarterback, Lee, looks a little thin. But they feel, why not go with a kid that they think they can develop rather than the Blaine Gabberts of the world? And I understand that point, Lee. I do.
I can't sweat over a backup quarterback, as I've written so many times before. If you have to go back, your backup quarterback, you're done. It's that simple. I don't care who the
guy is. Unless you're Belichick. Unless you're Belichick.
Well, you know, that's such an extreme. That's almost unfair.
He's always the exception, right?
Yeah.
Steve, always the exception.
As far as cornerback, and Jason Light's right. You can't do everything at once. And I still say that running back was a much more glaring need. And, yeah, I know they addressed it with McNichols, but to me that was a much more glaring need than cornerback or safety, for that matter. I mean, you know, you're built – you want weapons around Winston. Yeah, they went out and got passing weapons. The Bucs were fourth worst in the NFL last year, yards per carry. And it's glaring to me. Unless they think they're going to loosen up the running game with the passing attack and go Eric Auriel, to me that's still a much bigger hole than cornerback or safety or strong side linebacker or backup quarterback. I'm sorry.
And, you know, Steve, you got the Doug Martin factor in the equation, although I know that you and me, I'm going to throw it in. I'm not going to hang you out there on the line.
You seem definitive on me, but not on yourself.
No, I've been strong on it, and I'm going to stick with it, Lee. I'm going to stick with it. I know what's been said from
Light.
I know what's been said from Cutter. What else are they going to say on April 26th? What are they going to say but support Doug Martin to the nth degree? But, Steve, I just think it's unlikely he's a factor in the Buck running game in 2017.
Last week, Light was on with Shine again. I referenced that. And, you know, Shine tried to corner him about Martin, tried to get is he coming back or not? And Light did a good job of dancing. He said nothing definitive that this guy's going to be back. To be fair, he didn't say he's not coming back, but he danced. He looks good. I'm gaining confidence every day. I'm going to go by what we've heard both on and off the record. They've got till the end of September to make a decision. And at best, Martin's insurance, at best. That's the way I look at it.
I'm not going to revisit it completely, but very simply stated, anybody who just wants to go back and watch the games from last year knows the Bucs were better off when a running back not named Doug Martin was running the football. And that's who ran the ball the most last year. Doug Martin, 28th most carries in the NFL. That's a full-time load. He was awful, god-awful. They're better by default running the football without this guy, and they know it. If they could go back and revisit it, they probably would have sat him down. They'd probably be in the playoffs.
What if you could argue that wasn't the real Doug Martin in 2016?
That's the Halloween fantasy movies, not the real Doug Martin. Why not?
I'll throw one out there. To what Steve's saying, 3 out of the last 4 years, Doug Martin's been horrible. At 75%.
Or injured.
Either one.
Both.
You know, if he's injured, he can't produce. 75% of the time, the last 4 years, he's been rotten. What more is there to say? I mean, I had someone the other day. Well, 2 years ago, well, were you going to cherry pick? Adrian Peterson 2 years ago was all pro. 2 years ago, Darrell Revis was all pro. Where are they now? Yeah, I know. AP's with New Orleans. 3 out of the last 4 years, Doug Martin's been terrible.
Steve, all this talk and chatter, which I don't disagree with, except on principle, because I never want to agree with you two guys. Steve, doesn't it lead us, without question, to this conviction that the Bucs are going to be a wide-open team this fall? Go with your strengths, and your strengths right now is a third-year quarterback about to have a breakthrough season in the same system for the third year with shiny new weapons. I know Cutter talks about balance, but, Steve, would you be stunned if Winston averaged 38 throws a game?
Well, I wouldn't be stunned, but I also wouldn't stun if the flip side is true, because I'm going back to what the Buccaneers believe. Do I believe that they like Peyton Barber and believe that he's a guy who's a legit NFL player, is probably going to make a big leap in year two? Yeah, I believe they think that. But what I think is they believe Ali Marpet's a massive upgrade at center, a guy who's going to maul and run block like Joe Hawley did not, and he was the weak link last year. They believe in J.R. Sweezy, who was known as a mauler. They think he's healthy. I think it's crazy to bank on him. But they believe that they've just upgraded their offensive line, their running game big time. So I think Cutter's just
and
gonna,
they think Donovan Smith is a potential Pro Bowl player.
They think he's at least average and improving as a second year guy on the way up. That he has his various highs, his lows, but he's a good football player who shows up every snap. I believe that Cutter is just gonna not gonna pigeonhole himself. He's gonna see what defense is in front of him. He'll try to get the running game going. And he'll use his weapons more. I think he's more likely to lean toward the passing game and see what the effect is on the running game and how it might open up. He doesn't know what the box is going to look like until he actually puts DeSean Jackson out there and the rest of his weapons. But I think,
you know, look, I'm not the offensive coordinator and Cutter's really good at it. But, Lee, in my opinion, when the season starts, the first thing you do, you put the fear of God in opposing defenses. That's how you loosen them up. Once you get that reputation that, hey, DeSean Jackson, Howard, we know what Evans can do, Godwin, Brait, that's what you do first, put the fear of God in these defenses.
I got a question for you, Ira. What'd you make of what Cutter said Saturday? You might have been talking to Mike Smith at the time, but Cutter was asked, I want to say Jenna Lane asked, I'm not sure, but Cutter was asked about could Godwin play the slot, because everybody and their brother, me included, from what we've been told as well, Adam Humphries is your slot guy. And he said, of course he can play slot. What'd you make of that?
I think Godwin is cut out to be a slot receiver, Steve. I don't think he's known as a burner by wide receiver standards. He doesn't seem like a straight line guy like DeSean Jackson. Steve, I think what his forte is, he makes tough catches in traffic. That's the epitome of a slot receiver. Look, Humphries did a very nice job. Last game of the year against Carolina, he might have been the best buck player on the field. Closed with a flourish. I got no problems with Adam Humphries, but if Godwin's better, so be it. Competition, my friend, competition.
Yeah, I mean, look, they drafted him. You talk about investiture all the time. They drafted at Chris Godwin. So you know what? If he can play the slot,
they drafted him on day two.
They thought he was a bit of a gift to fall to them. Then, hey, the best man's going to play. I don't think there's some extreme loyalty that would – for Humphries, that would supersede a guy you actually drafted. So that's just me there. Now, Ira, your column, Mike Smith, you had a private chat with Mike Smith over the weekend.
I grabbed him away from Jason Light and said, Jason, I need a moment with your defensive coordinator. Light fought me about it, says, Mike, you don't want to talk to this guy, do you? And you know Smith, he's always very gracious, Steve, and said, yeah, I'll give Kaufman a couple of minutes. So he was a gentleman about it. And, yeah, it was just a private conversation. And he looks very enthused, Steve. You know, look, he was crestfallen in January. Can you blame him? Can you blame a guy who was 20 games over 500 with the Falcons, made the playoffs numerous times? I believe he got to the championship game, Steve. Am I wrong? The NFC title game and almost won that.
Sure, 2012.
Almost made the Super Bowl. Can't get another run in. Can't, you know, and the Doug Marones of the world are getting his job.
Hey, you know I like Doug Marone.
I know you do.
And the Jaguars are my sleeper pick for this season. I've already told you.
Yeah, last year your sleeper pick was the Jets.
No, it was Atlanta. You told me I was an idiot.
I did, especially after week one. But, you know, Mike Smith is now over his disappointment, which was a huge one in January, and why wouldn't it be?
So he told you that. He was disappointed? Are you speculating that? Well, or what's your take there?
My take is that I know Mike Smith well enough over the years. And he wants it bad, just like every former head coach that has to go back and be a coordinator. There's only 32 of these jobs, and they want to get back in the race, unless you're a John Gruden and making $8 million and you're undefeated, you know, since 2009. So, look, Smith, we don't know how close he came. He came close the year before with the Giants. Some people thought he had the Giants job. Ends up, when the dust settles, Steve, he's on the outside looking in. Happened again. Chargers, Jaguars, close, no cigar. And, you know, he finds a landing spot here in Tampa. He wants to finish what he started, Steve. And, you know, with all the talk about O.J. Howard and DeSean Jackson, Godwin, on the offensive side of the ball, that to have all the Buck fans excited, Steve. Let's not forget that Jason Light's gone out and made some potential upgrades on the other side of the ball.
So back to Mike Smith. He told you a little bit in your column. You referenced that the Bucks fans should be looking a little bit more for 3-4 alignments this year.
I specifically mentioned 3-4 to Mike Smith, and I said, Mike, I I take it with some of your new guys. Baker, you got the seventh round pick. That guy's a wide body. Seems like a natural fit, you know, at nose tackle. I said, Mike, I guess you're not precluding, you know, using the 3-4 a little more this year. And he says, you know, well, like a military leader, you leave all options on the table. But he said we showed some 3-4 packages last season. And the feeling I got, Steve, wasn't something he said explicitly, but the feeling I got was you're going to see more of it this year because I think he's got more talent in that, leaning towards that direction. Of course, they've really gone away from the cover too. No question about that.
Now, I don't want to go play-by-play on your column. People can go back and read it. But going inside there a little bit, you know, Gerald McCoy, of course, is a hot-button guy for fans. A lot of polarizing feelings about McCoy and how good is he, how good he isn't, his attitude, all that sort of stuff. Mike Smith mentioned McCoy. He said that McCoy is extremely hard on himself. And what was the tone of that? I mean, where was that going there? Was Smith sort of feeling bad for McCoy taking some shots from others who were critical of him, or just thinking that, what was going
on? My feeling was that Smith thought, you know, if Gerald McCoy, arguably our best defensive player, I mean, 5-time Pro Bowler, if he can be hard on himself in self-examination, looking at film, hey, I could do this better, I could do this, I got to show up more in the fourth quarter. If 93 can do that, From a Mike Smith perspective,
gotcha.
Yeah, you know, why can't Jacquees Smith, you know, do that? And Noah Spence, you know, Vernon Hargraves, well, you know, and Conte, why can't they do that? He also, I got the impression, Steve, that he feels the addition of Baker, who he calls a 3-down defensive tackle, and there aren't a lot of those around. McCoy's one of them, and now they have another one in Mike Smith's estimation.
Sure.
They have another one. Guy who doesn't necessarily have to come off the field on 3rd and 9. You know, it's like a gift. He feels that the addition of Baker, the girth, the athleticism, he uses like the word
it's too
girth.
Bad, Mike.
You never hear the word girth anymore.
Why can't my girth make me $1 million?
I think he feels that that's going to have a big impact on McCoy. Now, whether he means that is going to lower the amount of times that McCoy is facing double teams, I don't believe that, Steve. I don't think you do either. McCoy's got the reputation. He gets double teamed. Who? You know, Sapp got double teamed. Merlin Olsen got double teamed. They found a way around it. I think McCoy's going to have to find a way around it.
Simple math. There's 5 guys on the offensive line.
You know,
and 4 on the defensive line.
Are you going to double up Will Golston? You know, Steven? So yeah. I think he feels that the addition of Baker is a big one. It's a big one. He likes that rotation with McDonald and McCoy. And there'll be a 4th guy in the mix when the dust settles after training
camp.
Yeah,
probably the 7th-round pick, Stevie T, out of USC, probably.
He likes the mix on the interior. Not only can it push the pocket, in Smith's opinion, but he's got certain he's got his mind. You know, like Cutter's already thinking about how to use Howard and Brate together, and you got DeSean Jackson, you know, running flies, and he's taking 2 guys with him, and that opens things up for Evans underneath. He's already a first down machine, Mike Evans. He does it better than anybody in his league. I don't think people realize that in terms of generating first downs. Nobody is better than Mike Evans. Nobody in this league.
No,
that includes Antonio Brown.
Best by a significant margin.
Significant
last
margin.
Year, yep.
You know, with all due respect, I'm not saying he's better than Julio Jones or Brown. I don't think you are either. But he does that better than anybody. That's nothing to be sneezed at. So I just think he likes his defensive rotation. He didn't take any shots at Akeem Spence. But you and I know Akeem Spence, basically, he's a body. He's a body. You know, you don't notice the guy. Get one 1.5 sacks a year.
I liked him. I liked him.
You know, good talker in the locker room.
Good backup.
But I think it's interesting that he went out of his way to say Baker's a 3-down defensive tackle. And you look around the league. Without, you know, beyond the Aaron Donalds of the world.
Like you said, the Bucs have 2 of them.
And Jarrell Casey and guys like that. There aren't, you know, Marcel Darius. There aren't a lot of them.
Yeah, it's I'm hopeful. I'm not as hopeful about Baker, but I honestly think if they can get a true rotation going with McDonald and Baker, then they can get a lot out of that, an awful lot
How do you see them using this 7th-round pick? You see them using it on 4th and 1? You know, or down by the goal line, that this wide-bodied 7th rounder.
Let's go back.
He's going to be a spot player, Steve.
Let's go back to Akeem Spence. Okay, he was drafted in the 4th round, and I remember Greg Schiano talking about how they didn't think Spence could rush the passer at all whatsoever. And he showed some ability there. 1 year, I think he had 3.5 sacks, and he showed some ability. So the Bucs don't think this kid out of USC can rush the passer at all. They don't believe he can. Light even called him a two-down player on draft night. So
he doesn't have that kind of get-off. Not get-off.
Maybe they're wrong, but if we're just going to go on the scouting report, he's going to be a plugger, a guy they'll rotate in, you know, on first and second down, or possibly, like you said, on goal line situations, and just see what he brings. See if he can, make an impact more than just, actually get in the backfield.
Could he be a factor on a three-man front?
You would think so, but I'm not. I just don't see. I think Mike Smith hasn't figured out yet how to use his best weapons in a three-man front. That's just my opinion. Does he know how to use Gerald McCoy and Lavonnie David in a three-man front to get the most out of them? I don't know. Will they play with confidence in a three-man front? That takes time. We'll see some more looks, but I don't know if it's going to be that many. I don't know.
Where's Noah Spence fit in?
He's got a lot of guys to fit in. But if everybody's healthy, this team was built for a four-man front. If Robert Ayers is healthy, if they don't have those issues on the D-line like they did last year, it's a four-man front. But the rookie, if he can really be an impact guy against the run, you'll see him more than we think. But otherwise, special teams, spot duty, that's about it.
Who shakes out in the safety spot, Steve? I'm going to guess Evans has one of the safety spots. Am I wrong?
I believe you called him a starter in the last podcast. This is before you even got to look at him and talk to Mike Smith.
That's my feeling. That's just my feeling.
You would think, but they have to get a look and a sense of what kind of mistakes, what level of mistakes are they going to want to deal with on the back end. I don't know. Reading your column, it's funny because I was reading your column, and I almost felt like Evans and J.J. Wilcox, the newcomer from Dallas, would be the starters.
Well, I asked specifically about those guys. I did, to be fair.
It almost felt like they'd be the starters, but my gut says they give Keith Tandy a chance to show that he's the guy who finished last year with 4 picks and looking like a budding Pro Bowler.
Tandy, to me, is the giant X factor in this equation. No Buck defensive player finished the season in better style than Keith Tandy, but Steve, we've seen Tandy for 4 or 5 years, and until his big finish, he was an afterthought. Tandy was the guy that was confused, with the corner about who's got the guy deep, and then the guy's got a 38-yard touchdown. That was Tandy.
But I don't think Mike Smith cares about that. Mike Smith knows that, okay, this is a guy. We coached him up in our system.
There were a lot of communication issues.
There were. I don't think that was on the safeties from what we've learned, and I can't wait to break that story if I can finally do it with a little bit more information.
You will.
But Tandy, I think Mike Smith just sees Tandy's a guy who evolved. He got it. He fits our defense. He came to play, and, I don't think they look that far back. That's just me.
And, of course, Smith wasn't here, for that. As far as Smith's concerned, Tandy's the guy who tied for the team lead in interceptions, Steve. So he doesn't go back with Keith Tandy, like Buck fans do with Keith Tandy. I'm with you. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when the season starts, which Keith Tandy's going to show up. I think that's an intriguing point.
Dirk Cutter mentioned about Justin Evans on Saturday, mentioned his range.
Mike Smith did too.
And that was a focus of their look. And if they see a true center fielder out there, a guy who can really use his athleticism against the deep threats of the world, maybe he's got a better shot at starting, because I don't think you would call Tandy or Conte guys who have the athleticism.
Conte's more about his smarts, I think, being in the right spot.
I don't think they have the athleticism of Evans to be that electric center fielder. It's going to be fun. I mean, that'll be a battle. It's safety. I think people aren't too enthused about safety, but it'll be a true battle there. Who are they going to trust? Trust is really what it's going to come
back
to. And,
Steve, let's be honest.
We're always honest, Ira.
Remember what they were saying about Bradley McDougal? I mean, a year or two ago. They had high hopes for McDougal. Light did. Lovie Smith did. We like this kid. Now, nobody was calling him the next John Lynch. That'd be ludicrous. But they liked his range. Steve, they thought, this guy can be a sideline-to-sideline guy. He didn't develop, Steve. He never developed. He was better his first year than he was year two. And he took a step backwards. We'll see if he's what kind of NFL future he's got. But you always have to be cautious, Steve, with these young players. They have to continue to develop. And We're hoping that happens with Vernon Hargreaves. We'll see.
I'll tell you this with authority, Ira. The Bucks would have been happy to have McDougal back. He just wanted to test the market, and he lost. So he went out to test the market. They went out and got J.J. Wilcox. They paid Chris Conte to come back. And, all right, sorry, Bradley.
I refer you to the immortal words of one Mr. Joel Glazer, Mr. Steven.
Uh-oh.
Quote, "We've never lost a player that we wanted to keep." So I'll throw that out in the McDougal. Now, I don't know how true that is, Steve. You know, you got the Michael Bennett thing.
Well, you told me.
But he did say that.
You screamed at me on this podcast when I suggested that Russell Shepard didn't fit that mold. Then you were telling me that's not for the Russell Shepherds. He's not a cornerstone.
So you're saying it's not for the Bradley McDougals.
So it's not for the Bradley McDougals, according to your logic.
I understand. I've never
been dressed down like that since my mother yelled at me for not taking out the garbage.
We should not fight over Russell Shepard. I mean, with all due respect. Now you know what? He didn't play bad last year. He played a little better than you and I thought he would as a receiver, and we know he's exceptional and special.
I don't think he played better than I thought he would. He didn't do much. I mean, I get that fans freak out. Oh, he caught a touchdown here. He did this. He made a nice catch. Come on, please. You know, this is not a riveting loss to this franchise, the loss of Russell Shepard. At least it shouldn't be. Now, Ira, we've talked about the rookies on your impressions of minicamp. You've taken us through. Ira, I want to take you to something that Kevin Pamphile said. Did an interview on WDAE last week, and Pamphile went over the top when asked about J.R. Sweezy. He said, "I wouldn't want to face that guy." He said that guy is basically just called him a monster and a guy with a huge chip on his shoulder. Pamphile is pretty soft-spoken. Flat out said that Sweezy's ready to go right now. He can't wait to prove his doubters wrong. He hears all the public doubt. It almost made you believe in Sweezy that he's going to be the miracle man. What do you make of that? I mean, these guys, it sounded like they're really rallying about how Sweezy, like they believe they're seeing something we're not.
Wait, let me get this straight. Jason Light's calling Noah Spence an animal, and Kevin Pamphile's calling Sweezy an animal.
A monster.
A monster. Look, I don't want to piss on this stuff, Steve, but how much action has Kevin Pamphile seen of Sweezy in 2017? I mean, let's be honest.
He sees him in the weight room. That's where he sees him.
He's an animal in the weight room. I understand that. I'll tell you what. He's not alone because, you know, talking to Dirk Cutter the other day in private, he's pretty high on Sweezy, too. And they were very high when they signed him. I mean, that's obvious. Otherwise, they wouldn't have pounced on him.
This is literally or figuratively. All right.
And, you know, it's unfortunate what happened last year with the physical issues. Nobody anticipated that, least of all J.R. Sweezy. And I think Cutter is approaching the 2017 season where Sweezy is like, you know, some high draft pick that just dropped into Tampa. Let's enjoy him while we have him. The idea, you know, from one Buck place that I'm getting is for all the fans that don't think they did anything about the offensive line, really in free agency or the draft, well, we got J.R. Sweezy, basically. We didn't have him last year.
I could just hear the celebrations around town.
So, look, Steve, if he stays healthy and he's three-quarters of the player that Pamphile's telling us he is, that's an upgrade, you know, if Marpet can make the transition. But there's ifs. Steve, there's a series of ifs. Series of ifs. We'll know a lot more after training camp. We're going to be out there every day. Steve, Buck fans are going to be out there every day. When they go in pads, we're going to see who can get the job done when they have those individual drills. We'll see what kind of athleticism Sweezy has. See if he's hampered in any way by physical limitations.
I'm really curious to see Sweezy. What's interesting, because when you get guys who are veterans, but they're got issues where they, like Marpet's changing positions, Sweezy is coming back, he's got a lot to prove. So those two guys next to each other with a lot to prove, they go a little harder in training camp because they got to show what they can do, and they're new, and they can't even mentally go a smaller notch less. So you've got Chris Baker, who we were told doesn't like to practice. You were told that. He's going to be staring down the barrel of Marpet proving himself and Sweezy looking to kill somebody. And I think that's going to make for a very interesting training camp. And then you got the big girth guy, Stevie T, you know, 330 pounds. Guy lived in a suburban.
And if Marpet thinks he's physical, wait till he gets a load of this guy.
Wait till he sits to this guy from Tonga. And what kills me is that I think the part that people miss is that this guy, you know, the story was he lived in his Chevy Suburban or whatever it was. Imagine being 330 pounds living in a truck. It's not just the living in a truck or a car. It's that size, that girth.
Now, maybe at an Ed Morse Cadillac, Steve, you can get away with it. But the girth, you love that word. You're going to mention that on every podcast.
Girth is a great word. It makes for a very fun training camp. Now, Ira, we've got a few rapid-fire questions here for you. And just give short answers.
All right.
This is from our Twitter feed, at Joe Bucks Fan. Of course, Ira, now you, I don't know if you noticed, at iKaufman76, you hit the 16,000 barrier.
Nice.
You've hit 16K.
I ain't stopping there, baby.
You know, with that's pretty good.
And I've gotten to know some of these Buck fans from that party, Steve. So if you tell me who's offering the question, I can have an image in my mind over there.
Yeah, I've actually got put it out there for some questions, and I didn't really check to see all
of them. I want to know which stick carrier is asking me this stuff, Steve.
But I hit the print button on my...
you got anything from Miko? You got any questions
from
Miko?
No questions from Miko.
All right.
Now, if you fast-forwarded, gosh, you got to listen to Miko with Bucks Uncensored.
I just heard a little excerpt, and it was tasty.
It's fantastic stuff. Bucks Uncensored blowing up. It's a movement, as Justin calls it. And, and it's a movement, all right. All right, no, we're just kidding.
All right, what do you got for me, man? What do you got?
Now, don't go. I see now what's going to happen is we're going to get, like, 40 people will send Justin a tweet saying, Steve, a Joe Bucks fan was... No, it's nothing like that. Justin and I are actually getting together tomorrow night, all in fun. All right.
Now, he said he's having me on one of his future podcasts, Steve. What happened?
He'd like to.
Where's my phone call?
That's actually the first question here from Javier in Panama.
My man with the cigars, Javier.
It says, question one, date of next Irvin Jason podcast.
So, what do you call it? Irvin Jason?
Irvin Jason.
That's beautiful.
So
beautiful.
To be determined, Javier. To be determined.
Now, Steve, the only time we did it, I was 2,500 miles away. I was at my brother's hacienda over there in La Quinta, California. It's a beautiful, starry, starry night. And, I sounded like I was coming from a tin can, you know, and I had to call back about three times. I kept calling him, Jason, because we had just talked to Jason Light, right? We just spent 3 days in Phoenix.
Ira, you got the name wrong. You could justify it all you want. You got it.
So next time, Steve, maybe we do it in person. Maybe I do it in person with Pulowski.
Maybe. I don't know. I think.
But I did show up at that party. You got to give me that. I did show up.
I think it'll have to be on the phone probably, but that's all right. You can handle a phone call.
That's all right.
You're a seasoned professional.
Hey, I just heard Miko, and she's coming in clear as a bell. Four-letter words and all, Steve.
Yeah, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. All right. Best home game to attend this season, Ira?
Best home
game? What would be your pick?
Well, other than,
No, pick your best one.
The Patriots.
Patriots
Thursday night. In prime time. Patriot prime time. You know, New England, you know, goes 13-3 every year. Nothing better for the Bucks to lay one of those three losses on the Pats. Maybe that'll wake up the Vegas odds makers who have tabbed the Bucks as an 8-win team in 2017. And that is speculation that has certainly caught the attention of people at One Buck Place. Steve, a little extra layer of motivation. 8 seems a little low, so we'll see what happens. But New England New England in prime time at home, Steve, doesn't get any better.
Yeah, Javier, if I'm picking one game, the atmosphere is going to be electric. Week 5, that's a big game for every team in this league, unless you're 0-4.
You know,
I mean, it's a huge game for every team in the league.
Bucks trying to go 4-1 at that point.
Whatever it is, it's big, and it should be a lot of fun, a lot of energy. Now, Ira, let's see. When will we hear news about Jason Light's extension? When do you think that comes? Wait, end of the season, mid-season, next week? Short answer.
You know, if it hasn't happened yet, Steve, I don't think it's on the horizon.
We're going the distance? We're going to January?
Mid-season wouldn't be bad. A little 6-2 jolt from the Glazers, showing a little love to Jason Light. If they play as well as Joe Bucks fan thinks they will this fall, I think it'll happen before the season ends. If they go backwards, we got to revisit this whole question.
Yeah, look, I've said this many times. I believe it wholeheartedly. A lot of fans don't believe it. And that's one of the reasons that we were, I'll say, pro Mark Domenech. Not that he was the greatest GM in the world, but he wasn't as bad as a lot of fans think. And I was always under the belief that GMs don't coach and they don't play. And you can't say the GM is all powerful in one hand and then say it's all about coaching in the other. There's got to be a fine line. If the Bucks come out early in the season and show that they do have talent and that they are competing and they are 5-3 and looking pretty good, you know what? That lets you know Jason Light put the talent together and it's there. Cutter's just got to get the most of it. And at that point, once I think the Glazers see that, hey, this draft wasn't a bust and we got a good team again, I think that'll be Jason Light's
time. How
about
time. A little bye week, little bye week lightning right there. If they got a nice record, and by the way, the bye week couldn't fall any better, right, Steve? Late in the season,
week 12, 13.
It's beautiful.
I like it. I like it. I absolutely like it. And right before Thanksgiving,
who wants an early bye week? Nobody wants an early bye week. Come on,
no, there's no fun to that. You wait all year for football, and then you play four games, and you're sitting home on your ass waiting for another game. I hate that.
And the injury situation, Steve. You know that's a. Yeah, if you're going to pick a week, you couldn't do much better than that one.
Ira, do we go into this season? This is a big question for Bucks fans. Big question for Bucks fans. And I've had this argument already with Lee on the side, a healthy discussion. Do the Bucks go into this season with four running backs and Doug Martin suspended? Do they go in with three running backs and Doug Martin suspended? Throw somebody on the practice squad. How many running backs?
I would say four running backs and Doug Martin suspended. And as we've said, and I want to reiterate, the key words that are coming out of One Buck Place regarding number 22 is the following. We don't have to make a decision yet. Now, Steve, I wouldn't consider that a ringing endorsement for Doug Martin, but it's a fact. We don't have to make a decision, so we're not going to make a decision. Let's go through training camp. Let's see what's going on. Let's see if we got any injuries. Word from everybody is Martin looks great. And I don't have any question that he's in top-notch shape. Steve, if he doesn't make the Bucks, he's got to land with another team. And so that's what Doug Martin's agent's telling him. You know, you got to show. You got to show up not just for the Bucks, but for other potential suitors. And that's what's going on. I see four running backs plus Doug Martin. And then I just, you know, Steve, I just keep saying to myself, you know, the guy can't play the first 3 weeks of the season. You wonder how far they're going to push this thing before they do make a decision. But I think it'll be later rather than sooner.
I think so. I don't need to rehash it. I've said, and we've written, don't think he's here.
And he doesn't count on the 53, right?
I'll put
Steve?
It at, no, not until he comes
not
back.
Until he comes
I'll
back.
I'll put it at a 10% chance that he comes back, but that's not the plan. That's just the bottom line. That's not the plan for Doug Martin to be the number one running back in week four. That's just not the plan, folks, whether you want to believe it or not. Whether you want to listen to the other media brethren or not, that is not the plan around here.
But the plan is that we're coming back Thursday with another riveting podcast, Mr. Isbitz.
Wednesday, we will be live at One Buck Place.
We'll have the Kemper with us, possibly.
Media availability at One Buck, so we'll be out there. We'll cut the podcast for Thursday with all kinds of fresh goodies. So that should be a lot of fun, Ira, at One Buck.
Jay, by the way, the commish he's raised the ante now with Miko. This is a new game in town now. He's got Miko, I got DeKemper. So something's got to give here. And I got to elevate my game, you know, just like Gerald McCoy. I got to show up now in the fourth quarter. And
I'm glad you brought this up.
I got to bring a strong guest on Isbitz.
I'm glad you brought this up. Because what we need to do, Ira, here's the thing. Fans, we've got to realize Ira's podcast, just like JoeBucksFan.com, is going to go year-round. There's not going to be some summer siesta where we don't get a podcast. We get a picture of Ira drinking a Mai Tai.
Riesling.
Yeah, you know. Ira on the beach with his lovely wife, with his feet up. No, that's not what's going to happen. So, Ira, you can tap one of your sources here and get us a big-name guest. You know, maybe a Hall of Famer to be or a Hall of Famer.
We break it up. We cover some podcasts.
Oh, maybe we sit down with Mr. Brooks for a three-part July series talking Bucks. But we're going to have some cool interviews.
Rondé, you know, talk Hall of Fame.
There's
why not?
A lot of options. A lot of options. We're going to have some good stuff over the summer. Nothing's going away by any stretch of the imagination. So subscribe to the podcast on iTunes to get an alert. Because that alert's going to be pretty cool. If you're on vacation in July, all of a sudden you get your beep. Hey, Ira's talking. And it's never going to end, which is really cool. And Ira, I think we hit it today, man.
There's no off season, right?
You got it.
There is no off season.
No off season. All it's written on your face. I want lunch. So you're done. Maybe we'll get into a little bit more Thursday. A little bit more nuances on your private conversation with Dirk Cutter. You can maybe share a few vibes there.
Next time around, we do it right from One Buck, right, Steve?
Live from One Buck. Follow Ira on Twitter @iKaufman76. We'll see you Thursday.